that they knew, that they could see, you see. But to the untrained eye, to the eye of a non-parent, I haven't got a clue, but identical. You could dress them same and say they were identical, but mum and dad knew exactly who was who.
You say earlier, you know, about you living a good life, you know.
No, that's not the case, to be honest. I mean, let me share a little story, a biblical story. Jesus is being crucified by the Romans on a cross. And you probably remember the story. And on one side, on either side of him, there's a cross, isn't there? And on those crosses are thieves and robbers, guys who've done wrong things. And they're giving Jesus a hard time because they want him to come off that cross if he's that good, if he's supposed to be the Son of God. Get us down as well, because we don't want to die. And in the end, one of them realizes and says, "Hey, shut up. You and me deserve to be on here because we've done bad things, right? But this guy, Jesus, he's not done anything wrong." And the thief suddenly says to Jesus, he says, "Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what it's saying is that thief suddenly realised who he was, what he was, that he was a sinner. He'd done wrong things in his lifetime. And he then turned to Jesus and said, and he called him Lord. In other words, he was submitting to him and acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. And the moment that you do that and accept him, and he's admitting and making Jesus the Lord of his life, Jesus turned to him and said, "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." Wow. Now what you've got two guys doing the same sort of thing. One's going to hell, and the other one's just said, just before, within the last few hours of him dying, has said, "Lord, remember me. I want you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me for all that I've done wrong." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So it's not about whether you do good things, whether you do bad things. It's about who is the Lord of your life. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and personal Saviour? Because the Bible says there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so the only way you can get into the presence of God, only way you can have a life. Now, I'm going to say this terminology, eternal life. This again is a misquoted, misunderstood term. Because for everybody that is living today, there is eternal life in the realm of the soul. The question is, where do you spend eternity? Everyone will live the good, the bad and the ugly, for want of a better word, you know. Everyone will live. The good will spend their time in the presence of God. The bad, who refuse Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and I'm not saying I'm good, right? What I'm saying is that in my life I've made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus. And in that process he's dealing with my bad parts, and yeah, my imperfections, and hopefully beginning to create me a little more perfect than what I was, right? I'm not holding myself up to be, you know, the example. I'm sorry, I'm not. I can lose my cool now and again, you know. But God is forgiving me and working on me, and I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. So that means that I'm going to spend my eternal life, because I believe what the Word of God says, that, you know, appointed for one man to die, and after that there's a judgment day. And the judgment day is for judgment for you and me. It means one of two things. Our problem with our understanding of judgment is that if we say, "I'm going to judge you," we start thinking negatively, don't we? You know,
yeah.
We think, "Oh, all right, what's he going to do?" But you see, there is another part of judgment that says, "I'm going to rule in your favour," and that's judgment. See, judgment can do one or two things. It can rule in your favour, or it can rule against you. But every time somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to judge you," we automatically think negatively and think they're going to rule against us, something bad's going to happen to us. But judgment has two edges to it. It can rule in our favour, or it can rule against us. Now, every one of us, good and bad, will face God on a judgment day. Some people don't want to face the judgment day. Even Christians don't want to talk about judgment day, because they always think of it negatively. No, if you read, when you read the Bible, that it talks about judgment day, and it says, and God brought, and there were people who came to God, and God judged them and said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Right? To one servant he said, you wicked servant. And he said, take everything away from him that he has, and cast him, and hand him over to the tormentors. So there are two sides of judgment. It's not about how good you try to be. It's not, because that would mean that some people have more of an advantage of being good because of the way they've been brought up. Your family background would lend you to being good, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
I know your parents. Known them a long time. So I know that your family background would lead you to be a good person, an honourable person. But there are people that you and I know, not necessarily people, but there are people that we know who have not had that sort of upbringing, who are thieves, robbers, rogues, etc. And we would say they're not good people to be around. You know, they deserve to go to hell, we would say, you know. We sort of, you know, murderers and things that people are, they deserve to go to hell. We would say that, wouldn't we, in the natural. But the truth of the matter is that if they truly repent and ask God to forgive them and begin a process, no matter how short it happens to be, to follow the Lord Jesus and make him Lord of their life, God forgives them.
Well, okay, it looks like we've all got in a consciousness, and I think, is that God, you know, is it all around, inside and everywhere, and that's the creator.
It is. The creator needs to touch that inner you see, and you're right in what you're saying.
That's what never changes, like, it's pure in everywhere. It's just the humanness you'll need to, what leads us to the path of saving and the
That does happen.
It's like a vehicle's way, you know, what path you direct yourself.
To some degree, I mean, you see, some of us, the way we've been brought up, have a greater resistance to not doing bad things. But the ultimate question is, and the ultimate fact of the matter is, the only way that we can get to heaven, the only way that we can spend our life, our eternity in the presence of God, is to accept Jesus and to make him Lord of our lives. That is the ultimate, because you see, every one of us is born with a sinful nature. When you were born, your mum and dad had to start training you not to do naughty things. Is that right, mum? Right. And you're still on it, aren't you, love? Yeah. It's a hard job. But you see, they didn't have to teach you to do naughty things. You automatically went and did them. We all did. Do you know why that is? Because our nature is to do wrong things. Because our nature is actually feeding off the nature of the devil, the evil forces of life. And so our nature feeds off that. And so you don't have to teach a child to do naughty things instantly, does it? You have to teach a child to do good things. I mean, you watch children, you know people with, you know, and you have to train a child to do good things. It'll do naughty things automatically. You know, you see it go and slap somebody for no reason at all. Why'd it do that? You know? Not done anything to you. Bang, you know, and you have to say, no, that's not right, you don't do that, and you have to spend, and you know, and you, sometimes you have a massive battle with this child. And so, for you and I, we, as individuals, for every person, the only way that we can get to God, the only way that we can have an eternal life in the presence of God in heaven, as against in a place that is in a place of torment, because hell is a reality. Hell is a place of actual mental and physical torment. And hell was never made or created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and these fallen angels. And so, unfortunately, mankind chose the side of the devil and handed over his rights to the earth, and we fell into sin. And our nature has been to do wrong things. Greed, it's sinful. I'm not against money. You see the place I live in, and you've seen what we've had in the past. I'm not against money. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You've heard that said. And you get people, and you know, we see it on the news today. We see people who, you know, they're killing people for money. They're selling people into the sex trade for money. They're selling lives for money. And it's all about money, you see. And our lives have to be a life that is a witness and a testimony. And so it's about you and me as individuals making Jesus the Lord of my life. Saying, yes, Lord, I know I've done things wrong. I know I've made mistakes. And for you, you could say, well, I've lived a good life. My parents have brought me up well. And I would agree with you. I can't disagree with that. But living a good life out of your own advantages, for want of a better word, because you've had a good upbringing, gives you an advantage over everybody, over the others. And so, I'm sorry, that's not a level playing field, right? It could be said that, well, people have said, well, you've got to, if you keep doing good things, God will accept you and you'll get to heaven. Well, that means then if somebody who's got a lot of money has a great potential of doing a lot of good things, for those that haven't got much money, that means tough luck, you know, you're not going to do it. Or for those that are well educated, and those of us that aren't, the odds aren't equal, are they? So when Jesus came and died on a cross, he made a level playing field. He said, everybody on the earth is a sinner. Because you were born a sinner. The moment that you were born, you were a sinner. Because your rootstock is sinful. And that's why God came, when Jesus came and died on the cross, and that when we accept the Lord Jesus, that we become born again, then the Spirit of God is born anew in us. That's the new rootstock. It's not sinful. It doesn't have a sinful nature. It's not prone to sin, and it is not able to be corrupted. And so God created that within us. The moment we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives and accept him as our Saviour, then that is what happens within us. We are recreated in that area. And so he does that to then give us that new start. We've then got to work on our minds and on our bodies. And we work on our minds by reading the Word of God, and the Spirit of God quickens that to us. And so Jesus made a level playing field straight away and said, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've got, no matter who you are, you all start at the same level with Jesus. And so, yeah.
And there was no perfect man on the earth, so God sent Jesus, and he was the perfect sacrifice. And he died instead of you having to die. He died, and when you accept that he was your substitute, and that God accepted his offering. And if you say to you want to, you accept that you're a sinner and you ask Jesus to come into your life, then God looks at you through Jesus and sees that perfect sacrifice. He doesn't look at Stephen's sin or Stephen's sacrifice. He looks at the sacrifice of Jesus and says, Stephen is inside my son. He belongs to me. He belongs to my son. So I accept him as I accept Jesus. And it's nothing to do with your performance.
No, it's not performance related. That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're being created in the image of God, yeah.
We're becoming more identical together, wouldn't you say?
Yes. We're being created in the image of God together. And
we've all got the same, we're all looking for the same, we're all.
Yeah. And listening to this, you know, to God. I mean, just quickly, one time we had a missionary over, and God said, "I want you to give this missionary." It was £2,000, I think, towards final payment on this Bible school out in the Philippines. God told me to do this. Well, I mean, we're only a small group. We didn't have a lot of money around, and so I said, "Well, okay." But the missionary was coming back in a week or two's time. So I said to the leadership that was at that time, I said, right, I said, I want you all to go away this week and pray, come back next week, and I want you to come back with a figure of how much we're going to give this missionary. Now, I didn't tell them anything. Now, Ken's an accountant. Did a thing. Well, I've been looking at our figures, and he'd got a formula. And he reels off for about 5 minutes, you know, he's talking to me. I get bored with accountants. I get bored with that sort of money, don't I, Ken? You know. And he's reeling it all off. And so I'm thinking, oh, come on, just give me, all I want is a number at end, you know. Finally he gets to this number and he says, I think we should give £2,000. Oh. So I didn't say anything, did I? I just left it at that, right. So I went to the next person and I said, what do you think? And they'd got another way, and they found another way to this figure, 2,000. I mean, I just got this, boom, £2,000, that's it, you know. God don't mess with me, he just drops it and that's it. And so by the time we'd done, there were seven of us. And I went to each of them separately and asked them. And then I called them together. I didn't tell any of them what others had said. And then I called them all to say, right, I said, come on, come together. I said, right, the figure that we've got is £2,000. I said, you've all come to that figure in a different way and you haven't spoken to one another. I knew they hadn't talked to one another because I told them not to talk to one another. I said, go and pray about it. Now what I'm saying is, one spirit, as you were saying, we're being formed, getting into the likeness, one spirit. And that same spirit that God created and placed in us is being tuned on the same wavelength together, so that we hear God speaking to us at the same time, saying the same thing, and yet we're not living in the same houses. We can be living 20 miles away from one another and more, and God's still saying the same thing to us during the week. And it's not just that time it's happened. We've come to church and folk have said, do you know, this week while I was at home, I praying, and God said this to me, and somebody else, do you know, while I was at home, God said that to me. And the meetings gel in the sense, because why? Because God, by His Holy Spirit, He's speaking into our spirits and speaking the mysteries and the revelation of heaven, and He's telling each and every one of us at the same time.
Is that more than once?
Oh, it has.
You've been aware and you've been telling yourself we haven't had enough to say each. So Ken said, well, you say your bit and then I'll say my bit. This bit followed on from my bit.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're at that stage that
you know, yelling together,
right.
And
give me a bit.
See, it's a spiritual dimension that in the natural, I mean, we all come from different backgrounds and we all think differently. And we do things differently. But you see, when you come together in the dimension of the spirit, you start to do things and say things that are identical.
And you become more powerful, don't you?
And you bring a corporate anointing, so there is more power. Yeah, it's power. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. You've got some stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, there you go. Quick growing plants.
Numbers are not a big thing with God either. No. Because it says, the Bible says that it takes the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. and it was like the insignificant things. Because if it was by numbers that we achieved things, people would say, well, they didn't.
Yeah.
But because it's the minority achieving
great things,
impossible things, then God gets the glory. Because everybody knows they couldn't have done that.
We can't do it. Well,
you could be now going to a big church, a big fast run church, and I wasn't impressed.
It is harder to live in a small church than it is to live in a big church. You can hide in a big church. You don't have to get involved. Nobody eyeballs you. It's true. Yeah, you see, I mean, Zena one time used to hate me getting up to preach because I could guarantee I could eyeball her. You know, God would tell me something, and I didn't know it was for Zena, and then she'd get upset about it and wouldn't talk to me for a month. And I'd say, well, hang on, God, you know, you didn't tell me who this was for. Why should I get the blame for it? You know, why blame me when God's talking to you through me and I don't know he's talking to you? You know, I don't come with a tick list and think, right, Ivy, you know, I'll tell her something, but I'll do it while I'm preaching, and then she'll not know. I don't preach like that. I don't preach to have a go at people. If I've got something to say, then we'll sit down and I'll tell you. Because that's it, you know. I talk from here, and not behind people's backs, you see. And so, if God says something through me to you, it's not because I know something. Because usually I haven't got a clue what's going on. It's afterwards that somebody says, hey, you know what you said? And I'm thinking, what did I say? Mm-hmm. And then they tell me, think, oh, all right. You know? And so, it's about listening to God. And you can only hear God when you're born again of the Spirit. Mm-hmm.
But instead, going back to what you said,
Anybody, whether female or male, we have got something that belongs to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Jesus Christ, the one in Christ, so the world does not impress me. And I try to speak to him, be kind to him, and the point is this, I don't engage in the same fellowship as I would with anyone in the earth. We should, because we are different. We're born of the Spirit. So we should be living and walking example. So that doesn't mean to say we're ignorant to an ignorant.
No.
But we are speaking witness wherever I come. Well, I've experienced with Bill. The last week once we've been there with some shepherds. And we have lovely fellowship for about an hour and a half, didn't we? But I have another friend called Bill, but he is worldly. But the atmosphere was totally different. And I know him longer than I know Bill.
That's right. You're drawn by the Spirit.
I only know Bill for what? That's 4 or 5 years, isn't it? And you see, knowing him all the years, and knowing Bill only 5 years, and when he joined me on the bench, we have looked at
Because we've got the same thing in common, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. Well, what I do, I haven't. So you see, I have no worldly friends. Mm. Only friends I have, or should have, is with fellowship. Not just the fellowship, those that are born again of the Spirit.
Well, it's bothering.
Because they can draw you away. Yeah. They do things that I wouldn't do. Right?
Yeah.
They think it's right what they're doing, yeah. And God will service you. And so I wouldn't do that. I can't go where they're going. I can't say what they're saying. I can't do what they're doing. So, like water and oil does not mix. That's what it says.
Well, I can relate to that because the other night we went down to full
age. Yeah.
We sat there and I've been many times before, but I haven't been going at all. It was a minute and we passed it down and came and sat with us. And which is, you know, is interesting, but I just came back to tell you. I thought, right, then I came round then, you know, and they started chatting and then somebody else came and sat with us. And we were all melancholy going on about how much he loves his mother and his daddy did so much to drink. Oh! I was about to get old.
Well, you've already been 4 days.
Yeah.
4 days of it, and that's the 4 days.
But we don't, you know, I've got to say, I have got some good friends who aren't Christian. Enjoy mixing with them.
Yeah, you do.
But I can never have that depth of relationship,
you know,
that I have with my Christian friends.
Yeah.
Because it's the Christian, it's the Christ in us that pulls us together.
It's the love as well, isn't it?
It is.
And the relationship between them all is love, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we say, you know.
Yeah.
But you're talking about perfect love.
Well, I know it, but we can be perfect.
We can, but we're not.
Well, I know that.
We can, but we're not, and that's unfortunately is our problem, and we can't say that. Because you and I know we've had people who are Christians who've been in this fellowship who have fallen out of love with us, haven't they?
Well,
I know we haven't fallen out of love with them in that sense, but they've fallen out of love with us for in some cases, and we haven't done anything wrong. We do have different relationships with Christians and that. Because it is a tie of the spirit, not a tie of the flesh. It's a tie of the spirit, and the spirit is greater than the flesh. No. He knew about it, but he had no sort of workings within his body and in his mind and his emotion of sin.
It's too pure, it's a shame.
Yeah. So I hope that's helped a little.
Oh yeah.
Hope it's given you something to think about, Stephen.
Good.
Well, I mean, you lot walked home half at time.